The Roanoke Cultural Endowment got off the ground several years ago. It is in the process of raising $20 million. Once it does that, the endowment will begin issuing grants to arts and cultural organizations looking to grow those entities. And that's because the arts also mean business and are an economic driver for the Roanoke Valley. Now, joining WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me this morning in studio is Shalene Powell, executive director for the Roanoke Cultural Endowment, and also Douglas Jackson, the arts and culture coordinator for the city of Roanoke. Shalene and Doug, good morning to you both.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here on a bright, sunny Wednesday. Hope you're doing well. Okay, let's start with you, Shalene. Give us an update on where the endowment is, the silent phase and major gift fundraising campaign. It began about 3 years ago. So, Shalene, how long will it take to get to the $20 million target?
Sooner the better. Our self-imposed timeline is 10 years, so that's going to put us at, 2025 to 2030. It depends on how many people step up. Essentially, we collect, our gifts come from the city of Roanoke, who's our partner, and also from private citizens. And come the end of this year, we're approaching that $3 million mark. Mm-hmm. So I want to acknowledge the success there and thank everyone who's already come on board. But next year, 2020, we're looking to go public in the community, and that's more about advocacy of arts and how they impact the community and also participation at any level. So,
okay.
That's what I wanted to ask, is that, Shalene, and by the way, Shalene's not the first member of the Powell family to be in the studio. Her husband, JP, is with My Radio and also co-owner of Lucky and Fortunato, so she's the second Powell to be in here. So there will be some kind of a public phase where, maybe through on Roanoke Valley Gives Day or any day of the year, people can contribute something to the endowment?
That's right. We're not participating in the Roanoke Valley Gives Day this year. The endowment, we chose specifically to kind of help support and promote it and all the arts organizations participating. So we definitely get on there and get on, give to all of your arts organizations in the city. We're going to help promote them. You can make a donation through our website.
Right. Which is?
RoanokeCulturalEndowment.org.
Okay, so you can do that now if you want.
Right now.
Okay,
yeah.
And good time of the year to do it, with the end of the year coming on, that type of thing. And I wanted to talk to Doug Jackson. You took over from Susan Jennings as the Art and Culture Coordinator.
That's right.
Right. Talk about what the Arts and Culture Coordinator, I think the most visible thing people see from that position is all the public art. But talk about what your position entails.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're really proud of the public art program, which is about 11 years old now. We have 160 works in our public arts collection, and includes two-dimensional work in civic buildings and the sculpture that you see as you're driving through town. That's one piece of what we do. There's a 15-member volunteer arts commission that's appointed by council, and they're also responsible for our arts and cultural plan for the city. And we have an arts and cultural plan that was developed in 2011, and it helps us use the arts toward a stronger economy, engage neighborhoods, and creating a culture of lifelong learning. And then additionally, there is programmatic funding that nonprofit arts organizations are eligible for in the city. And last year, the city gave $340,000 for programs that help create a really lively cultural climate here in the city.
Now, I wanted to ask you, is there a synergy with what Shalene and the Roanoke Cultural Endowment is doing, as far as if people see more art, they get immersed in more art, they get excited about art and arts and cultural organizations, that it may help them, support the endowment or what the endowment's trying to do. Is there a synergy there?
Oh, sure. There is definitely a synergy. In fact, before I was in this position, I was on the Arts Council, or Arts Commission rather, for 11 years. And after we had done the arts and cultural plan, we were looking at the sustainability of arts and cultural organizations that we depend on as partners in the community. And we spent some time calling around, looking at other regions, exploring what models are out there. And that was work of a committee and council leadership that eventually became the Cultural Endowment. So from the beginning, we've been really interested in exploring this and how we can create strong organizations. Now, we look at arts and what they can do, and they can do so much. It's almost overwhelming. And you think about just your neighbor who's creative and what that creativity means in their lives, in creating the neighborhood climate, And then if we're a creative community, it means we're problem solvers. And if we're solving problems with the arts, we can address much larger, kind of systemic challenges that we face.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really complementary.
We're talking with Douglas Jackson from the city's Arts and Culture Coordinator and Shalene Powell, Executive Director for the Roanoke Cultural Endowment. And I wanted to talk to you about the study you commissioned. And there was a presentation a couple months ago.
October.
Arts, mm-hmm. Right. Arts and Economic Prosperity, the study by Americans for the Arts. It made a presentation a few months ago that the nonprofit arts and culture sector, and I think it was a 2018 year, that it generates about $64 million annually in economic impact for the area, supports almost 1,800 jobs. Is that important, Shalene, to show potential donors that arts means business, and if they make a contribution of any size, that the return on the investment is worth it?
Oh, absolutely. In this, we have had studies in the past conducted through the Roanoke Valley Region or Roanoke Valley Allegheny Regional Commission, a regional partnership with Wayne Strickland's group, and so building upon that, what the Americans for the Arts study has shown us is that we do have an incredibly strong economic impact. Message. And, you know, I think the arts organizations, their leadership, and they were all so excited to see that there was such an impact. It's almost like, hey, it's true. You know, it's we can prove this to our community that we do factor in quality of life. And so it's also great because our organizations can use this data when applying for grants. So it's not something that we commissioned for the endowment. It's for the city. It's for our region to prove that. Yeah.
Is there access to the report online anywhere?
Yeah, at our website, roanokeculturalendowment.org. There's a link. I think it's under the advocacy tab. You can download the full report.
Mm. I wanted to ask you when you get to that endowment mark, your goal, and you start issuing grants, basically off the interest earned, I guess, from the endowment, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole idea of an endowment.
Sustainability, yeah.
Right, sustainability. Do you envision, you know, lots of smaller grants as opposed to big ones, you know, maybe seed money for smaller organizations to help get them off the ground, almost like a collab thing or something? Or?
Okay, I can answer this very, very well. Here we go.
Okay.
So $20 million is just the starting point for allocating grants. Yes, this is a marathon, but all things, you know, this is something that is so important. So we're going to get there at some point. $20 million, we have a 5% spending policy. So once we start granting funds, they're going to be operational funding. So just to draw a connection to what the Roanoke Art Commission is currently and will continue to grant, they provide programmatic funding for our arts organizations. So those are for programs or various things that you see out and about and happening. So this is... I mean, this is kind of, the operational component is not glamorous. It's not fun, but it's crucial.
And that's what you're going to support.
That's what we're going to support. So 5% spending policy will generate, based on $20 million, $1 million a year. So that $1 million will be divided out, allocated in grants, and there'll be 3-year cycles. So each year, the arts organizations can expect that they will be receiving that funding. So it's also predictable. And then there will be an accountability component as well.
Right. And so it gives them time to get their house in order,
yes,
and to find a way to sustain it themselves if it's going to work after 3 years.
And if there's a yes, and if there is a predictable source of income coming to help them with operating funds, that will free up some of the budget so that there can be extra creativity or to take that risk or to reach those new audiences or those new neighborhoods that otherwise they might not have been able to, because they have to, you know, focus so much on meeting their operating budgets.
All right, it's 8:53 at WFIR. We are speaking with Shalene Powell, Executive Director for the Roanoke Cultural Endowment, and also Doug Jackson, the Arts and Culture Coordinator for the City of Roanoke. And Doug, the City of Roanoke also issues funding to nonprofit arts and cultural organizations. Earlier this month, those groups seeking funding, Doug, had to attend a workshop. Was that a new requirement, and what did the workshop entail?
It was not a new requirement. In fact, we were considering whether or not we needed to not make it mandatory. We've made it mandatory for about 7 or 8 years, and we asked them in the meeting. And the beauty of this is by requiring them to come into the room, you are requiring them to come to the room. You wouldn't really have to require them because when you get them in there, they're really happy to be together. And we had organizations volunteering to help new organizations with their grant proposal. We use an online system through the United Way. Mm-hmm. And if the first time you use it, it helps to have some tips. So it was really nice to see the collaboration and that spirit across the group. And we asked them, do you want to do this next year? And the immediate responses were, yes, let's come together.
Sure.
But are you, you know, and I hear this from other nonprofits that are not in the arts and culture world, is that, you know, money's tighter than ever, perhaps, or you want to see a return on investment. So when you're in these, talking to these nonprofits before they get some money from the city, are you looking for a business plan? Are you looking to see that they're on solid ground?
Oh, we do. And it depends on how much they're asking for. Over $25,000, which is a large grant for us, we have to see a business plan. And we look at actually the audits, the financial records for all of them. But over $25,000, they have to have a certified audit from an independent accountant as well. And it's a rigorous program. This is public funding, and so you expect rigor. We want to be very good stewards of the public dollars. And we have a committee that of the Arts Commission that works on this, and they spend hours and hours and hours throughout the early spring reviewing the grants. We interview. We ask them to come in for an optional interview. So they come in and they meet with the panel and they talk about their programs, and we find it really valuable.
Okay. And Shalene, I'm imagining when you start issuing grants with the Rural Cultural Endowment, you're going to put people through the same paces. You're going to want to see what their plan is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there will be a process at least the same level of what the Roanoke Arts Commission provides. So we'll be talking, Doug.
Happy to do.
I want to mention that Shalene plays violin for the Roanoke Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you went to the Berklee College of Music?
Berklee College of Music,
okay.
Boston. Mm-hmm.
Just talk about what private donations, large and small, mean to the RSO.
Oh, to the RSO? Absolutely. Well, the RSO actually has, beyond what their Masterworks programs and their pops, I don't know if anyone had a chance to see the holiday pops.
Was David wearing his little Santa hat?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Yes, yes. Very exciting and very fun. We have a great schedule and programs coming up in the beginning of the 2020 year. But, you know, the Holiday Pops, we have beyond just the concerts and programs that the RSO puts on, we also have a wellness arts program where we take music and we work with a music therapist in nursing homes and for memory care and people with dementia. And so actually that's something I'm going to do this afternoon over at Brandon Oak. So,
And it takes money to do this. So donor base every year is a big part of what RSO needs.
Yes, yes. Coming up here at the end of the year, if anyone listening has an affinity for any of their arts organizations, I encourage you to donate to their annual fund. It's so helpful. It's the bread and butter for a lot of our arts organizations.
We just have about a minute and a half left. I want to ask you, when you put this report together and Americans for the Arts did this study, was there anything that jumped out at you about maybe the impact of the arts and culture organizations that you didn't realize?
Yeah, well, first of all, $64 million of economic impact directly back into the economy. That's a great, great number. The other thing was the 1,700 full-time equivalent jobs that the arts sector provides in the city of Roanoke. That's 1,700. That's a lot. Those are a lot of people that live here, and they're not going to be moving anywhere. They're part of our community. That to me was pretty profound. I also would like to thank, there were 30 arts organizations that participated in this study, and they range in size and scope. There were also a couple of music programs at local churches that participated, the Berglund Center. We have local arts, the Opera Roanoke. I mean, 30 organizations who provided their data to contribute. This is a very accurate study. So
probably happily contributed because they see but maybe what the end game is and that it's worthwhile to get into this.
Absolutely. We have a strong group of arts organizations, and I think Doug can attest to that as well. It's exciting when they do get together. Yeah.
Real quickly, the website again, if people want to know more about the endowment.
RoanokeCulturalEndowment.org.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. But Shalene Powell, the Executive Director for the Roanoke Cultural Endowment, Doug Jackson, the Arts and Culture Coordinator for Roanoke City, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.